The following presentation was recorded at a Christian Light Education workshop. More information at clp.org.
Renewing our Anabaptist teacher vision. We've talked a lot today about worldview. You've heard that term. We've talked a lot about Anabaptism. You've heard that term. Now, as we're ready this afternoon to send you off on your assignments again to the classroom, whether it's one student in your home or three, or a whole classroom of children in your school. We do hope that we've in some way been able to stir your thinking and your convictions, and that this focus, this worldview thought, is going to receive some attention to us, because we have a worldview. We want to cultivate the right one, and we also want to promote the right one. I'd like to leave you teachers and parents and board members with an assignment. You are the key individual, a key individual to seeing that this vision of Anabaptist worldview is promoted and cultivated in your educational environment. You are the one. I said in a question and answer session, I said this earlier this morning already, that teachers don't merely teach. It's not hard to teach. There are so many ways in which we can dispense information and link students to knowledge by giving them the right books, the right resources, the whatever, and especially in our technological age today, if you use those mechanisms, there's so much out there, those resources. But as teachers, as educators, we influence. I don't remember so many things that my teachers taught me, but I do remember the influence and the impressions that they made upon me. Oh, yes. Yes, they did teach me things, but teaching is best done in the context of influence and relationship. It just is. And I would like to encourage you as teachers, as educators, as board members, as parents, to stir this vision. Fire builds fire. Fire feeds fire. And it's not that we expect you're going to go into your classroom tomorrow and you're going to spend days talking about worldview, worldview, worldview. No. But you know, you will be spending the rest of the year demonstrating, living, showing, and once in a while saying something that contributes and promotes worldview. And hopefully as an Anabaptist. Paul, writing to the, probably his last letter that we have in the scriptures, writing to a disciple, a student of his by the name of Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2, the first couple of verses says, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Then he says, "Timothy, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses." Timothy, the things that you heard as I taught in the classroom. Timothy, those things, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul is concerned about four generations of information being passed on. Not just information, influence. Paul is saying, Timothy, those things that have been impressed upon you, don't just keep them for yourself. Paul could have had the idea that some teachers have, as long as I could get it into my students' head and that they pass the test, what happens after that is not my responsibility. That Paul did not have such short-term vision. Paul was concerned that those things that Timothy had grasped and understood, that Timothy would pass them on to faithful men in such a way that they could effectively teach. Paul, so to speak, great-grandchildren, educationally or spiritually wise. Someone has said, we really don't determine our success as parents by observing our children. We determine our success as parents by observing our grandchildren. And teachers, educators, parents, that's where we need vision. Vision is that quality that a person possesses that somehow pretty well drives him or her and makes him or her, captivates them. And vision is usually that which just overflows. It's just that bubbling up, overflowing, that comes out of their lives. And they just can't help it. That's vision. You look at people in the past who were visionary, who had ideas, who had goals, whether they were missionaries or whether they were church builders or whether they had political ambitions or they were promoters of a certain cause, whatever that was. Those were the kinds of things that they were rather free to exhibit and share. Vision is not something that you somehow just keep hidden for yourself. Vision is that which just seems to bubble and burst out of a person's life. A bit like the disciples. We can't help but speak of those things which we have seen and heard. It's just there. Don't try to clamp it down. That doesn't work. And brothers and sisters, teachers, educators, parents, board members, if there's ever a time that we need vision, we need it now. It's easy in our society to become apathetic and to just somehow let things just roll, flow along. Vision has with it a sense of passion. Vision has with it a sense of dedication, a sense of commitment, insight and foresight. It sees that which isn't right there, but it looks ahead as a goal and it keeps working toward it. How do we do this? I'd like to quickly leave 4 points with you. First of all, if you want to renew your Anabaptist teacher vision, 1, be convinced that true Anabaptism is biblical. Okay, we're not talking about that it alone is biblical. That it exclusively is biblical. No. But if Anabaptism is somewhat of an option in your life, somewhat of a quaint kind of choice, really, you know, not so much a conviction, not so much, not that important, you won't have vision. Vision is something that's impressed upon you. And if Anabaptism is to us what Jesus requires of loyal disciples, then it's going to have there will be a compulsion there. We need to be convinced that true Anabaptism is biblical. It is truth. It is a biblical understanding of the will of God. Secondly, be convinced that true Anabaptism is relevant, possible, and practical. Some may say, oh, yeah, that's a nice idea, but just very theoretical. Oh, you know, it'd be nice if, but we can't live that way today anymore. That's beyond us. That's not very practical today. That's not 21st century. You know, that's good theory. It's nice. Then it's not vision. We need to be convinced that true Anabaptism, Jesus, the call of Jesus in our lives, to follow him, to be a disciple, to walk this way, it can be done. It needs to be done. It is possible. It is practical. It is relevant. Without these two convincing points, you won't have vision. But if these two things are impressed upon you and me, and we say, yes, yes, and I'm willing to put myself into it, then the next two can then happen. Number three, take time to study. Take time to read, to investigate Anabaptist worldview, Anabaptist thought. The year that I got married, and that's a few years ago, but it feels like a short time ago, I was in Calgary, Alberta for some time because of my employment. I had done some studies after high school, some Bible studies in a Bible setting, Bible school setting, and I had purchased a book, the book, thick book, I still have it. It's called The Complete Writings of Menno Simons. And some of you may have that book too. How many of you have ever chewed through it? Well, I decided I'm going to take this thing along and work on it. I will say, you know, and there's a good section of it, one of the first, it's a big section on, it's called On Christian Baptism. And I thought to myself, how can one brother say so much about one subject? But anyway, I got this book and I started working on it. First couple of pages on who? I think I've had my fill. But I kept reading, and the more I kept reading, the more I kept underlining. And the more I kept underlining, the more this, yes, yes, yes. I'm not saying that we substitute this kind of reading for the scriptures, okay? But if you want to have an Anabaptist worldview, you're going to have to fill your plate with that kind of food. I don't like that bell. There's a lot of writing out there of early leaders and even more modern leaders. Dirk Phillips, Menno Simons, Harold Bender. John C. Wanger. There's all kinds of writing out there. Some of it's heavy, some of it is not. The book that I shared with you about this morning, The Kingdom That Turned the World Upside Down. There's a lot of good material out there. And we need that in order to start thinking that way. Our histories, our theologies, our sermons, our catechisms, our confessions, all these things, and a good diet of them helps. Fourthly, then, as you soak up with this, take time to apply these principles to the areas of your life, of Christian discipleship, your relationships, your priorities, the things that interest you, the things you take time for, your loyalties, how you use your resources, how you treat brotherhood. Put them into shoe leather. Put them into practice. Because those things that you consider valuable, those things that you consider important, they will show in your life, and those are the things that will just spill over. And that's what your students will pick up. You know, worldview, I don't pick up somebody's worldview so much by what he actually preaches to me about, but I pick up his or her worldview by how they live it. You cannot but show worldview. They will flow over as teachers into your class discussions, the illustrations you use, the examples and applications you make to current events. They will. They will. Let me say this, though, as I close. Vision isn't very meaningful if you don't pass it on. It's a bit like last night we had a Thanksgiving supper at our congregation, and on the tables they had put quart jars or liter jars, whatever it was, filled with oats. Screwed them shut, I guess, so that people wouldn't spill them. But there was also some scattered on the tables. Now, what if we would just permanently leave those oats in the jar? They look nice, but those oats would do nothing for nobody. They wouldn't reproduce. They would really not be very valuable. But as you take those oat seeds, kernels, and scatter them, that's vision reproduced. That's vision that's meaningful. Scripture says, if there is no vision, people perish. Because vision is something that is transmitted and transferred from others. So teachers, you will influence. You will give a certain vision to your students. And I guess the question this afternoon is, what will it be? I hope you are convinced that it will be biblical, practical, relevant, and possible. That it will be truth. That it follows a Christian discipleship where Jesus says, follow me. And that we can then tell our students, like Paul told his people, follow me as I follow Christ. And then we will get to where we want to go. I trust God is going to help all of us be people that are burdened with an Anabaptist vision, with an Anabaptist worldview, because that's what our world needs to see, because it's real.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.